Picture the moment. You're 40 minutes into your long cross country on the Czech ride. You've got your checkpoints coming up right on schedule. Your log is looking clean. You're feeling good. And then the examiner reaches over, taps the chart, and says, "Weather just went down at your destination. Divert me to this airport over here. What are you going to do?" And your stomach drops. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern here on Radio Hangar. Today, we're going to talk about the one task on the private pilot check ride that catches more people off guard than almost anything else, the diversion, because it's the moment the examiner stops testing whether you can follow a plan you made on the ground and starts testing whether you can make a new plan in the air, with your hands full and the clock running. Let's walk through this together. Before we get into it, a quick shout out to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of this journey you're on. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial, they've got you covered. It's a great way to mark the milestones that actually matter, the ones you'll want to hold in your hand years from now. And remember exactly how you felt. AviationSoul.com. So, the diversion. Here's why it lives on the check ride. And here's why it matters long after the check ride is behind you. Your whole cross-country plan, that beautiful navigation log you built the night before, all of it assumes the world cooperates. It assumes the weather holds. It assumes the airport stays open. It assumes you don't get a rough-running engine, or a passenger who suddenly isn't feeling well, or a line of buildups sitting right on your route that weren't there at your briefing. The world does not always cooperate. A diversion is what you do when the plan breaks. And the Airman Certification Standards spell this out under the cross-country task. The examiner wants to see you select a suitable alternate. They want you to come up with a heading, a ground speed, an estimated time, and a fuel burn to that new airport, and they want you to do it promptly, not perfectly. Promptly, that word matters. Let me come back to it. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. The single biggest mistake people make on the diversion is that they put their head down in the cockpit and they start doing math. They pull out the plotter, they spin the E6B, they're measuring distances to the tenth of a mile while the airplane is quietly drifting off heading, losing altitude, and nobody is looking outside. The examiner is watching for exactly that, because in the real world, a diversion is usually happening because something already went a little bit wrong. Your workload is already up. That is the worst possible moment to bury yourself in precision arithmetic. So the first thing I want to burn into your brain is the order of operations. When the diversion comes, you do these things in this sequence. Airplane first. Aviate. Pick a heading that's roughly correct and turn the airplane toward where you think the new airport is. You can refine it in a second. Get the nose pointed the right general direction, and get the wings level. Second, climb or hold your altitude, and think about the airspace and the terrain between you and there. Are there mountains? Is there a shelf of Class Bravo or Class Charlie in the way? A quick look now saves you a scramble later. Third, and only third, do you start refining the numbers. Notice what we did. We flew the airplane, we pointed it the right way, and we bought ourselves time before we ever touched a pencil. That is the whole game. Now let's talk about the actual technique, because point it roughly the right way needs some substance behind it. The fastest tool you have for direction is your own thumb and your own fingers and the compass rose printed right there on the sectional. You don't need the plotter for the first cut. Put your finger on your present position, look at the new airport, and just eyeball the direction. Northwest, roughly 300 degrees. Turn to that. Done. You are now flying toward the airport, which is 100 times better than sitting on your old heading while you compute a perfect one. For distance, here's the trick nobody teaches you clearly. Your fingers are a ruler you always have with you. On a sectional chart at the standard scale, the width of your three middle fingers held together is very close to 10 nautical miles. Some folks, it's the width of a thumb knuckle. The point is, before your check ride, you measure your own hand against the chart scale, and you learn what 10 miles feels like on your fingers. Then in the airplane, you lay your fingers on the chart, present position to destination, and you count 10, 20, 25 miles. That's all the precision you need. Because here's the thing about a diversion, you're not filing this. Nobody is grading whether it's 23.4 miles or 25. You need to know, is it close or is it far? Do I have the fuel? Roughly how long until I'm there? Let's do the ground speed and time math the way you'd actually do it in the cockpit, in your head with round numbers. Say you eyeball the diversion airport at about 25 miles, and say you know from your climb and cruise that you've been making right around 100 knots ground speed. Here's the mental shortcut. 100 knots is a little under 2 miles a minute. Call it 1.6, but for quick work, round it. At 120 knots, you're doing exactly 2 miles a minute, and that's the cleanest number in aviation. So a lot of instructors teach you to just anchor on it. At 2 miles a minute, 25 miles is about 12, 13 minutes. At 100 knots, a bit more, call it 15 minutes. You just told the examiner, new heading roughly 300 airports about 25 miles. I'll be there in 15 minutes or so. And at 8 gallons an hour, that's 2 gallons of fuel, I've got plenty. That's the answer. That's the whole answer. And you gave it in 20 seconds without ever putting your head down. The examiner is looking for that. They are looking for a pilot who can produce a good enough answer fast and who keeps flying the airplane the entire time. They are not looking for a mathematician. Now let me acknowledge something honestly. This is hard. Learning to fly is hard, and it's expensive, and the diversion is one of those tasks where you feel behind the airplane the first 10 times you try it. That's normal. Every single pilot flying today fumbled their first few diversions. The difference between the pilot who passes and the pilot who has to come back is almost never raw talent. It's practice reps, and it's having a system. So let's talk about building the system, because you can practice this without spending a dime of Hobbs time. On your kitchen table, pull out the sectional for your area. Put your finger down somewhere random along a route. Now pick an airport off to the side and run the whole flow out loud. Point roughly which way you'd turn. Estimate the miles with your fingers. Figure the time at 2 miles a minute. Name the fuel. Then check yourself with the plotter and see how close your eyeball was. Do that 10 times, and I promise your gut estimates get shockingly good. And here's a piece a lot of students miss. Before you ever launch on that cross country, look at the chart along your route and pre-pick your outs as you plan each leg. Notice the airport sitting off to either side. Now they're not a surprise. When the examiner says divert, half the time you'll already have looked at that field and you'll know it's there. You'll know its rough distance. You might even remember the frequency. That's not cheating. That's exactly what good real-world pilots do. You're always quietly aware of where you'd go if the noise up front changed. Let me give you a real scenario to tie it together. You're on a cross country cruising along at 4,500 feet. Everything nominal. You start noticing the visibility ahead getting soft. The horizon's going hazy. Your destination is still 40 miles out, but the picture in the windscreen is deteriorating and you do not like it. This is the real diversion, the one that isn't a check ride prompt. It's the one where you have to be honest with yourself. The pilots who get into trouble here are the ones who press, who tell themselves it'll probably clear up, who have somewhere to be. We talked a few segments back about get-home-itis and the hazardous attitudes, and this is exactly where they bite. The pilot who goes home safe is the one who, while there's still good air behind them and plenty of daylight, says, "I don't like this. There's an airport 18 miles to the southeast, back in the clear. I'm turning now." Present position, finger on the chart, southeast roughly 130 on the heading, 18 miles, about 10 minutes, fuel is a non-issue, turn, fly, land, buy a coffee. Wait it out or drive home. That decision made early with room to spare is the entire point of everything we practiced. The check ride diversion is just a rehearsal for that day. The examiner is handing you a low-stakes version of a decision you will eventually have to make for real, and they want to know you can make it calmly, quickly, and with the airplane always under control. A couple of practical takeaways to carry into your next flight. Keep something to write on strapped to your leg, and when you divert, jot the new heading, the time you turned, and your fuel state. Not a full log, just those three things. So if you get busy talking to a new tower, you don't lose the thread. Get flight following if you can, or at least have the nearest approach or center frequency handy. Because when you divert, you may want to tell someone, and a controller can give you a vector and a distance to that airport instantly, which turns all your mental math into a cross-check instead of a lifeline. And practice the 2 miles a minute anchor until it's automatic. 120 knots, 2 miles a minute. From there, you can flex up or down for your actual ground speed without ever freezing up. The diversion isn't the scary part of the check ride. Once you have the flow, it's the part where you get to show the examiner you're the kind of pilot they'd be comfortable putting their own family behind. Fly first. Point it roughly right. Estimate with round numbers. Refine only when you have the spare capacity. That's it. Everything I laid out today lives in the Airman Certification Standards under cross-country flight planning and diversion. And the finger and thumb chart techniques are the same ones instructors have been passing down since long before any of us had a moving map on the panel. If you want to dig into the standards yourself, they're free from the Federal Aviation Administration and worth reading the night before your check ride. You can find more of these segments over at radiohanger.com whenever you want them. Go pull out your sectional this week, put your finger down somewhere, and divert yourself 10 times before you ever start the engine. Your future self, 40 minutes into a real cross country with the weather going soft, is going to be very glad you did. I'm Pattern. Keep the wings level, and I'll see you next time.